Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody to Paranexus Universe. Today is Thursday, March 4th, 2010. This is Doug Kelly, your host. Hope everybody's doing well. Grant's not with us at the moment. He's having some technical difficulties with his microphone, and we may get those worked out yet. We may not, and it's kind of a bummer. I kind of feel naked without the Grant man on the show, so hopefully we can get those worked out. Before we get into tonight's program, a couple of announcements. We have officially released the Paranexus blog module. I know we mentioned it in the forums and put it out in the weekly update today. The Paranexus blog module is something that we wrote from the ground up for Paranexus members. So if you are a Paranexus member, go take a look, check it out, and start your own anomalous research blog. We have also added another new feature for a benefit of, for membership, and that is a directory, a public directory, where our members can elect to be listed in the public directory. That way, when the public or visitors come to the website, they're looking for an investigation or some help, they can go to that directory and look at our members who have groups or who conduct investigations individually, whichever, and they can get their website and contact you. So if you're a Paranexus member, many of you have got that information already entered in and we've turned it on. Just go to your profile and look for it, and you'll find the enable button. Got to have your state, country, city information included, as well as your website and website name, and then it will appear automatically in the new directory. Some other announcements for Paranexus. We have a new board member, Brian Parsons, who has been a member of Paranexus for some time. He has agreed to join the board, and we're excited to have Brian on the board of directors. He brings a lot to the table. I've always had a lot of respect for Brian's approach to research, so I want to welcome him. And tonight's guest is Gaurav Tiwari. He's also a longtime member of Paranexus. He is a certified field investigator for Paranexus, and also just today has taken on the position of regional director for India, and we're happy to have Gaurav on the program. Welcome, Gaurav.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Nice to have you on the program. I've been wanting to get you on for some time, and just to kind of fill everybody in, Gaurav posted an excellent article on spirit possessions, a reality. It's in the blog. So if you go to paranexus.org and just look on the right side panel there for recent blogs, you'll see Garv's article. And it was just an incredible story of an alleged possession that he conducted. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about just general anomalous research in India. Now, Gaurav, just for the benefit of our listeners, tell us about yourself a little bit, what you do and how long you've been involved in paranormal research, so forth.
Hi, I'm a commercial pilot by profession. I have been into this investigation and paranormal research for the last 4 years since I was in the U.S. I had my first eye-opening experience in the U.S. and after that I thought I should go ahead and learn more about ghosts and spirits. So I joined Paranexus and I learned a lot from Dad. I'm very thankful to him, what I am today, and because of him.
Well, we're lucky to have you too, and it's interesting, you know, and I obviously a commercial airline pilot, an investigator, and the thing that really impressed me was your approach to this alleged possession case that you had gone on, and I you know, I've long thought that possessions were really more the result of psychology than they were anything, and your blog article just, you know, was brilliant that way. So can you tell us a little bit about this case, how it came about, start from the beginning and elaborate on it?
Yeah. I'm a person and I'm possessed. You must be wondering how. I'm possessed by my own spirit, spirit of being myself every time, in every condition. I believe possession is just belief. I really don't have any idea about exorcism, but I think exorcism is an art to make someone believe that everything is all right with them.
Mm-hmm.
Exorcism is just an art. Whatever the way of exorcism is, the final product is to cure a person by giving him faith in himself of his well-being.
So that's some good stuff. I mean, let's just stop there for a moment and talk about that. You know, and I've also long said that, you know, when you're self-possessed, you can't become possessed by anything or anyone else. And that includes people, because so many people around the planet are possessed by other people. And you can see that in dysfunctional relationships, addictive relationships, things like that, toxic relationships. And so you're saying essentially the same thing.
Yeah, that's right. Because I remember when I was in love, and I had my lover's thoughts every time on my mind. And when my relationship got toxic, I just stopped believing in my relationship. And the preferences of my life changed. So I believe, if you believe in yourself, you cannot be possessed.
Yeah.
And it always happens, if you think about something very deeply, you're involved with it. You are already possessed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of spirit possession, what I believe is just your deep fear or extreme feeling of guilt, which has been in your mind for long, and something goes wrong with you, and you feel it's because of some ghost or spirit, and your subconscious mind takes over your consciousness, your real consciousness, and you feel you're being possessed, and you start believing in it, that you're possessed, and you do things to make yourself believe that you're possessed.
Yeah. You know, and it just, it makes so much sense, and that's one of the reasons why I went into so much detail in terms, in the CPI course, in terms of the investigator's self-belief, the impact that belief can have on an investigation, and I went into the life leadership paragon, which is self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and of course the fourth is self-completeness, and so essentially what I was trying to teach in the CPI course is the same thing that you're talking about, and that is when you're grounded, when you have a good relationship with yourself, you rule out a lot of stuff. And even any of that, some of that adverse stuff that so many of these investigators, especially on TV, talk about, where they're adversely affected by, quote, a spirit, unquote, none of that happens. You know, you're not afraid anymore. You're not afraid of something following you home, which has been a big problem for a lot of people. So, excellent stuff. So now, you went to took care of, or you went on this investigation. How did this thing come up? Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, one of my friends, his sister was possessed, so-called possessed. When I went to space, I got to know that she has been possessed by a spirit of some young guy who suicided 8 years back, and he was in love with that girl. I found the root of the problem, that this girl might have some guilt feeling in her mind that because of that guy's suicide. So I use hypnotism. And now how I treat a possessed person is basically believing his belief. I have a theory to cure a possessed person. It's called BAGC. That is, believe your client, analyze the situation, why he's possessed, get yourself trusted. That's very important.
Can
if someone trusts you.
Can you repeat the last part just one more time?
Yeah, it's BAGC. It's my theory to deal with a possessed client. B stands for believe in your client.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you believe in him, he will have trust in you. And A is analyze the root of the situation, why he or she is possessed. G is get yourself trusted. If a client trusts you, if he gains trust in you, he will think the way you think. Because if you don't believe the client won't believe you too.
Right. So self-belief can come into play there. How professional you come off, how believable you come off, do you believe your own stuff?
Basically, I have my certain set of beliefs. I don't empathize, I don't force my beliefs on my client. What I do, I prefer to choose client's belief and make him believe that he's right. The client is always right because he has been facing the problem. And what I do, I find the root of the problem, and with his belief, I try to find out what is the actual problem, and I let him understand how can he come out of it, and sort of thing. Now, generally speaking, to treat a possessed person, an investigator has to literally possess his client by using different methods. Hypnotism is one of my methods. I always hypnotize the person by gaining his deep trust. You can do it by letting him know that you believe in it and then find the real root of the problem. Okay, I was talking about the case. I went to this girl who was possessed. I got to know that she has been possessed by a young guy, spirit of a young guy. When I went to her, she was all... She looked very horrible with popped out eyes and screaming voice to kill. And when I went near, she was just banging her head on the bed. She was roped around the bed. And it was my first case when I was seeing a possessed person. I literally didn't know what to do.
Okay, so let's pause there for a moment. Let's just sum up. And before we sum up, Grant has come. He's here with us. Hey, Grant, glad you got it worked out. I know, I just heard him. Grant, can you hear me now? Say something, Grant. I just heard him clear his throat. I told him to clear his throat so I could see if I could hear him. Wow, now I can't hear Grant. Okay, well, Grant, you jump in if you clear your throat or something. We'll
hope can you hear me now, Doug?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, how's my voice?
You're on your computer mic, but that's good enough, dude.
Yeah, that's the only one I got. So.
Yeah, that's good enough, man. It's good to have you.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I was really wanting you to be on tonight because, we didn't even get a chance to talk before the show, as we usually do, and we got Gaurav on tonight, and I know we were talking about having him on, so here he is. Gaurav, this is Grant. Grant, say hi.
Hey, so nice to meet you. You've been doing some great work.
Hey. Thank you, Grant. You're welcome here.
Oh, we appreciate all your hard work and
thank
the excellent
you.
Article.
And so,
thank you, Grant.
Gaurav, just going through that possession case, so let's just sum that up now. So you got a call from the client, and how old was the girl again?
She was about 16 years old.
Okay, 16 years old. And so
yeah,
you 15 go...
or 18.
So
18 years, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. And you said this was your first case or first possession case or what?
This was my first possession case, and it was the very first time in my life I've seen a possessed person.
Okay. So you'd never seen her before, first possession case.
Yeah.
And you walk in, you arrive, and what do you find? You find her banging her head?
She was roped around the bed, and she was banging her head on the bed, and she looked very horrible.
She was tied down?
She was tied down on the bed.
Her parents, her family, or?
Her mother was sitting beside her, and she was chanting loud Bajrang Ban, which is supposed to be a mantra to cure ghosts and ghosts and spirits. So when I went in there, I asked our father what happened was.
Sorry, Grant?
My father told.
I said we call that 4-point restraints here.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So I also thought of what the matter was. Father whispered in my ears, she has been possessed by a spirit. I really didn't have any clue what to do, because I always considered possession as a hysterical phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the girl, her face was pale, her eyes were stone, and she had some weird expressions on her face.
Was she like throwing up green pea soup or anything?
No.
Just a joke, dude. I'm just...
Okay.
Go ahead.
She was just trying to twist herself on the bed, and she was trying to get rid of the ropes and screaming. When I went near to her, she screamed, I'll kill you, and in a manly voice. I was a little astonished, and I didn't have any idea what to do. But when I talked to her father, I got to know the problem. There was a guy in her class, and he was in love with her. And when he proposed to her, she refused, and this guy was very weak. He suicided. So I got to know the problem. The problem should have been nothing but a guilt feeling, which had been in her mind for a long, very, very long time. And anything went wrong with her, she thought it's just a ghost who has come to possess her. So what I did, I went near to her, and she asked me for a glass of blood to drink.
Really?
Yeah.
Glass of blood
she
to
said,
drink.
You just have to have the canteen full of it, right?
Yeah. Jar of carries around a canteen full of blood for just such cases.
That's a well-prepared researcher.
Yeah. So I was very amused. Glass of blood? Why does she want glass of blood? I said, I know you don't need glass of blood. She said, no, I do. I need glass of blood. Then I'll answer you. I know why are you here. She started swearing on me. And other things happened. What I did, I just smiled at her. I pressed her head on the bed, looked into her eyes, and told, see, I'm here to help you. I know no one is going to help you the way I will. She looked at me and said, I'll kill you. Go away. I know why you're here.
I kill you.
Yeah. Then I said, okay. When I talked to her father, I had an idea about the problem. So what I did, I had my laptop with me. I played a hypnotic sound, which I purchased from a website.
Like relaxation music type thing?
Relaxation music type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I used my diction. I said, see, no one is going to listen to you if you don't listen to me. No one ever is going to listen to you. I know what is your name. Your name is Ajit, right? Which I got to know from her father.
Uh-huh.
She looked at me. She didn't say anything. I said, I know you love this girl very, very much. And if you're a true lover, you have to listen to me. And she was looking at me a very dangerous look.
So you were referring to the alleged entity within her? Is that what you were saying? Talking to them?
Yeah. Basically, the girl believed that she has been possessed by the entity, so I was talking to the entity.
Gotcha, yep.
Okay. So I said, okay, if you love this girl, are you ashamed of yourself because you're torturing this girl? And she said, I'll take this girl away with me because she's responsible for my death. I won't leave her alone. She cannot live happily. I'll take her with me. I said, come on, what kind of lover are you? Aren't you ashamed of yourself? If you love someone, do you love someone for her happiness? Or you want to torture? Are you a sadist? I know you won't be a sadist because you loved her. You killed yourself for her because she was never yours. But if you love her, can't you let her live in peace? Don't you want to see her happy? If I were at your place, I would like to see my partner happy, whether or not she loved me or not, because love is not one side. Love is not a demand. Love is a relationship which you share. And if you want to prove your love to her, you have to make her happy. Not you don't have to torture her. When conversation like this happened with her, I tried to cool that spirit down. Then I said, you must go back to where you belong. Because if you are a true lover, you let this girl on her condition, and she has all the rights to be happy because she's your love. Then the conversation went around for 30 minutes or so. Then she started calming down. She looked at me. Then I saw some tear in her eyes. Tears rolled on her cheeks. And I told her mother to fetch water. And she started whispering, "Mom, water, mom, water." Then I thought, okay, the case is done. The case is solved. The spirit has been gone forever. And I told her father to fetch her medical attention. It was just a case of extreme fear and deep, extreme guilt and deep fear.
There's a question in the chat room.
Yeah.
Not quite sure I completely understand, but I'll ask it. What aspect of the lady was the control projected towards? The outer ego conscious mind or the subconscious? I'm thinking that the question is, what do you think this, let's just call it this entity, presumed entity, what was it trying to control? It was obviously her conscious mind. She was being affected.
Yeah, what happens if I believe I'm sick? Okay. Even if I'm all right, I'm sick because I believe. She believed that she has been possessed because everything was going wrong with her. And a guilt feeling which was in her mind for a long time, because she always knew that a guy has suicided because of her. So I believe she has been believing that one or some other day, the spirit will come back and take control over her. And then something went wrong. Her subconscious mind took over her conscious.
Yeah, she was feeling to be retribution for jilting this guy, and so that manifested itself in some sort of ghost or spirit that was troubling her. It was an external manifestation of the turmoil that was going on in her conscious.
That's true.
So, what do you think? Can you tell us? Do you know much about her belief system, her religious belief system, or her personal belief system? What was it that? Take on this whole thing, belief
form. Yeah, I tell you, in India, the cases of spirit possession is very, very common. There is a temple called Balaji, and you can see thousands of possessed people being brought there to get blessed and exercise. You may see people lying down in the boulders. Okay, they don't have any pain on their face, and they have heavy boulders over their head, their body, and they are possessed. And because they believe they are possessed, they feel they are powerful. And this is the common belief system in India, that spirits can possess. So what you hear from your childhood, it affects your mind. It's a preconceived notion. It always rules your life. So in this girl's case, this is a common thing. Because I got to know from her father that her mother always used to tell her, you did not do a right thing, saying no to that guy. He'll definitely come back one day. He'll definitely come back one day. And he came back. Because she believes in that. She believes in her mother.
So you're saying that this whole possession thing is rather common in India.
It's very common.
Okay, so we have that underlying belief system, at least that social, cultural. And
true.
This girl's mother.
In India, it is believed that all the spirits are meant to harm humanity. And they all believe all the spirits have twisted legs and sharp teeth. And if they manifest themselves, they are definitely going to kill you or they are going to possess you. Everyone in India thought the same thing. And basically, when I started my services for free paranormal investigation in India, many considered me as an exorcist or a witchcraft. They never knew about scientific investigation. And with my efforts on my website and my blogs, people have started knowing about the scientific side of investigation gradually. And what I believe, India has different cultures, different mythology, and different people and different mind and different preconceived notions. one thing common what everyone thinks is all the spirits are minimal. They are meant to harm humans. So India.
Well, you know, the universal though is the fact that it doesn't matter which culture you belong to, it's the power of belief that you adhere to. So it doesn't really make any difference whether you're worshiping, Buddha, or you're worshiping Krishna, or whoever it may be.
Yeah.
If that belief system fits in that you can be possessed and you adhere to that belief system, well, you can be possessed. We see a lot of it here in the United States with fundamentalist Christians who have very strong beliefs about possession. So there's a lot of universals there. But belief is the key.
Belief is the major key, which rules your life, it runs your life. And I believe belief system, belief is your best friend, and belief is your worst enemy too, sometimes. And so, talking about the belief system in India, the common belief that you can be possessed, and since you believe in it, you'll be possessed one day. If you don't believe in it, you won't be. I don't believe in it. I think I can never be possessed by anything. Okay, I'm talking about another case in India. If you'd like to know what my other case is.
Doug's still with us? Doug, you still there? Hey, can you hear me, Doug? Okay, good. At least you can hear me. I can't hear you.
Hello.
Hey, Clara. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Graham.
Good. Can you hear Doug at all? Doug, can you hear us? All right, well, I guess it's just you and I, so... Okay. Tell us a little bit more about some of the investigations you've done over India. And for the benefit of our audience, Gaurav, how many people, is it just you, or how many people do you have on your team?
I have around 6 people in my team whom I have trained.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, yeah, welcome, Doug.
Hey, Doug's back. Okay, Doug, take over. I'm here.
No, go ahead, Grant. Ask a question again.
I just did, so...
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yeah, I have 6 members of my team, and we go and investigate at haunted places. And in my team has GRIP, which is Ghost Research and Investigators of Paranormal. And we have been dealing with different cases, and gradually we are gaining publicity and we're getting more cases. I remember a recent case was from a friend whose family used to see a lady in white dress for 5 years, brushing her hair and sitting on the well at the backyard of their home every day after dark. No wonder family had guts to go and check out what it was actually. when I got there, I saw a clear apparition of a translucent lady sitting on the well. I was so surprised to see a clear apparition of a lady. So I went near, and to my amusement, it was nothing but just a shadow of the well and the street lamp on the street. Okay, when I told them it was just a reflection of the street lamp and the water of the well falling in the wall, the case was straight away solved. See, a simple thing gave them nightmares for 5 years, since the street lamp was installed behind the fences. So most of the cases here are just stories. You have to be very choosy to pick up the case, what cases we should investigate, because many, many of them are just the stories about ghosts with twisted legs and sharp teeth. So I hardly find any real case. I got an inquiry from a lady from Kolkata, which is a metropolitan city in India. She told me that she is being tortured by a spirit, and because of the spirit, her daughter got piles. I told him, no, it is not possible. How can a spirit can cause piles to your daughter? And she started arguing with me, no, you don't know anything about that. Spirit can do this, spirit can do that, they can kill you, they can cause cancer, that sort of things. So, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you, Gaurav. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now
you're doing great. Doug, you back too?
Yeah, let's check my mic. I switched headsets, and hopefully this one will be a little better. Do I?
Oh, well, good. You sound better.
Okay, cool. We'll see what the chat room has to say, whether I sound, they said they could barely hear me.
Gaurav, you've been carrying on just like...
Yeah, you're a pro.
You've been doing a great job. So, you know, with all this technical stuff, we apologize to you, but you're just hammering right on. So keep up the good work. Are you still there? Can you hear me?
Gaurav, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a question from the chat room. I'd like to ask if the mind, ask you, Gaurav, if the mind is a physical thing. Yes, humans see many things, but what is the mind and where is it? So what are your thoughts on that?
See, what I have read on the internet and through many sources, brain is just a thing to process your memory. Okay, brain is just a RAM of your computer. And the actual mind lies somewhere else, because science has never proved where the actual mind lies. So I believe what you call absolute plane,
mm-hmm.
I believe your mind lies there, but nothing has been proved yet. So we cannot say for sure where your mind lies.
Yeah, and I think we could all agree that mm-hmm. we have a propensity for non-locality. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, we were talking about that, what was it, last week?
Yep.
Mind is non-local.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about perhaps the differences of investigations in the Indian culture. I don't know, did you do any investigations when you were over here in the States taking your pilot training?
Yes, I did a couple of investigations in Texas. Though it was not a called investigation, I went to some haunted places with my team. I went to some graveyard just to find out, just to experience the paranormal phenomena. I did have a few paranormal phenomena. I used to investigate with my gadgets, K2 meter and all. I saw an apparition, I believe, in Texas, and it was just a leg. I saw a translucent leg. And that is the best thing I've ever seen in my life, the apparition of a leg.
A leg.
Okay. Yeah.
So what? How's it different in India than here, if it is?
In the United States, people are more happy if they get to know their place is haunted. They're more acceptable to it. In India, if you tell someone that your place is haunted, he'll start living in fear. He might leave his house. He might sell his house. Or he might have a heart attack also.
Really?
Because... Yeah. People are so scared of spirits. You can fool anyone in India on the name of ghosts and spirits. That is what all those fake exorcists do here. They're called tantrics and witch hazards.
But don't you guys have a lot of counter gods and like all kinds, because there's many, if I understand it correctly, in Hinduism, there's many, many different gods. And so a person might have like a protective deity that's in the house. So I guess that would probably be the main way that people might fight what they think is a possession would be to try to bring in some other more powerful entity with good vibes or some sort of spirit that represents something that's going to protect them.
Yeah, in India, people go in shelter of different exorcists, different babas, sadhu babas, and tantric.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are very fake. Most of them have criminal records. If you go through their history, you'll find they have been charged with murders and rapes and a lot of things like that. So when I started this, people started considering me as an exorcist or a tantric.
Mm-hmm.
People asked me, how do you deal with spirits? Are you a tantric? I said, no, I am a scientific investigator. I use my scientific gadgets and logic of science to prove a place haunted or not haunted, and to find out what is the real reason to make a place spooky. And basically what happens, in my own family, one of my relatives was suffering with an entity in their house, some poltergeist activity. And I was a kid that time. Even I went to their place and I saw a gas cylinder flying in the air. And it was such a dangerous experience for me. I was so scared as a kid. And they called the tantric. What he did, he tied the complete house with a rope, saying, okay, this house is being blessed. Okay, and he charged around 50 grand from them just to bless the house.
Wow, I would have done it for 40 grand.
Yeah. So what they do, the tantrics do, they charge a lot of money, and they do nothing. They just try to fool you, you know.
Does it
different tantrums?
Does it work?
Sometimes it works because most of the cases are on this psychologically based. And so what they do, they play with your psychology. They make you believe that okay, everything is normal here, and you know they try to gain profit with the belief system.
Well, that's. Isn't that essentially what they're trying to do? I mean, even in their own perhaps charlatan way, is manipulate belief systems?
Yeah. And I remember another possession case. I've just heard about it in my family. My aunt was possessed some time back. I never saw her being possessed, but I just know the story. They called a tantric. And my uncle was a doctor. The tantric told, sir, you being a doctor, do you believe in possession? We don't. I am a tantric, but we really don't believe in possession. You know, it's all psychological. And since you have called me, I'll try to cure her in my own ways. What I did, he got a thick chain, an iron chain, and he started beating my aunt with the chain, saying, okay, you are going to leave this body. You are going to get out of here. I am a tantric. I'll kill you.
You're kidding.
Whatever you are. I'm serious.
He was beating her with a chain.
Yes. This is how they treat possessed patients. So what they do, they see the exorcist here, see their fear in your mind, and fear of the spirit is gone forever.
Well, we know that unfortunately that human beings will exploit other human beings. Doesn't matter what culture you come from. That's a real shame.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, here, and same thing happens here. But you know, with India, with such a rich and diverse and ancient culture, and multi cultures within the whole frame of India. I mean, it just seems like it would be really tough for investigators over there, because you've got folks who believe in a system with so many different gods and so many mystical things going on that it's really difficult, because that's part of their whole, everything is filtered through that lens. And so there's a place for the mystical there. There's a place for the scary. Not saying that it doesn't happen here, but there it's like so enmeshed in that culture after thousands of years, man, it's got to be really tough to you know, because it must be obvious to you and your fellow investigators many times what you're dealing here is a cultural belief.
That's true.
Not a real possession.
That's true.
But I guess the other side of that coin, though, that gets really interesting, Gara, is the fact that by believing it's so, does it make it so?
For them, but not for real.
But I mean, do we tap in? When we believe into something so strongly, do we tap into an inner psychic source or resource that we have, possibly spontaneous, you know, RSPK, that somehow manifests itself in moving things or some other kind of stuff, just sheerly by the power of believing? I'm just tossing it out there. Just
yeah.
Thought.
Yeah.
I agree.
I agree too.
I mean, look at voodoo, right? I don't remember if you brought that up while I was out of it here, Grant, or not.
No, we did. But you know, if the voodoo priest says you're going to die, and you really believe it, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You might as well tell your family, buy my urn and, you know, get ready to, you know, put my ashes in it, because those people, you know, and when there's no physiological cause for a person to die, but psychologically they believe they're going to die, what does that say about the mind and the body's ability, or the mind's ability to really override the body self?
Well, there's a good point brought up in the chat room by Jamie. The comment, so the host doesn't believe in possession. How does he know, quote unquote, that it wasn't real? That's a good point. Good question. And it's here's what we're saying. Obviously, we cannot. It's like anything with in the paranormal. It's hard to prove anything conclusively. But where we're coming from on this is that, before we explore a paranormal conclusion, we've got to satisfy the natural explanation, the psychological explanation. And the fact of the matter is, when you add these different things up, for example, you know, you've got a cultural belief system in India and other parts of the country of the world, rather, like, you know, in the West Indies, voodoo and so forth. You've got a cultural belief system at work, a powerful, at times, cultural belief system that emphasizes possession and related matters. And it's not very difficult to say, you know, people buy into that because they're reared in it. Garv, you said you were scared as a kid of these things. I was too. I mean, I was raised to be afraid of this stuff. And I was as a kid. You know, so
we all have that. We've all, I think it's universal that every, and it may even be instinctual, that fear of the unknown, because that's a basic survival instinct, you know, because if you're, I mean, and we got to take it, guys, we got to take it all the way back to the cave. And you know what, if there's funny noises out there beside the cave, you don't know what they are, and they're scary and they could kill you back then. And so somehow maybe that's an ancestral memory that's so deeply embedded within our minds that it's hard to get rid of it, because that's an instinctual, it's something we've learned, but it's a way to survive. And so, I mean, even look at little kids. Just like you were saying, Doug, you're scared of the dark because it's an unknown. You can't define it other than it's inky black, and that's scary.
Right. So the point is that we're saying that we have to satisfy the psychological, the natural explanation before we go into a supernatural type of an explanation. And just, I know we've got some new listeners tonight, so let me kind of give you a little bit of a basis on where we're coming from with Paranexus Universe. Paranexus Universe is an educational program aimed at investigators and researchers and even enthusiasts. It is a venue that we use as Paranexus to try to get to the truth, to have discussions that explore different things, and also for us as researchers to relate what we've discovered, what we've found in light of our experience. So, you know, my background is in counseling, coaching, hypnosis, and so forth, the mind, consciousness, and Grant certainly is in counseling and therapy and so forth. And so we have really talked a lot about this to try to figure out what exactly is going on. Another facet of our work is that we have discovered that most of these cases are not paranormal in nature, but yet these people believe so fervently that they're experiencing paranormal phenomena when we can explain it otherwise, beyond a shadow of a doubt. So our focus here is, what is causing these people to believe it so fervently? Where is this all coming from? It's part of what Grant calls para-anthropology, which is a great term. And so I wanted to just put that out based on some of the comments in the chat room so that people kind of know where we're coming from here. So,
yeah, and folks, you know, we're not ruling out the fact that there may be something paranormal or, you know, beyond our, you know, way of, you know, explaining it scientifically. But those cases are so few and far between. You know, Doug and I have been waiting for several years to have our socks knocked off or be pinched or slapped. It's yet to happen. That doesn't mean it can't happen.
That's correct.
What we have to do is we have to look at and we have to rule out. Just like if you go to a doctor and you tell the doctor, you know, I don't feel good and this is what's going on. You've got to rule out every other thing that it could be before you say what you think it might be.
So
that's just all we're doing.
Exactly. So just to sum it up, are we saying that there's absolutely no way that some spirit entity could possess a person? Is that what we're saying? No, it's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that we can't prove that yet, and it does follow, I will say this, that if a person, if one person can possess another person, then it would follow that if spirits do in fact exist and malevolent spirits exist, they could similarly possess another person who allowed it, because we are the ones who allow it. And so that's kind of where we're saying. We're not trying to say anything absolutely 100% definitive. We're just trying to rule out the natural stuff. And Gaurav, I didn't mean to hijack that. I just wanted to clarify that from comments in the chat room. So what do you see as the future of anomalous research in India?
We are trying to bring forward the real thing. We are trying to help people come over their preconceived notion, telling them what is reality. We are soon going to bring all our investigations online so that people can see what exactly happens at a haunted place and what exactly is meant with paranormal. So I believe India has got a lot of potential to research in this field, and people will definitely come over their preconceived notion very soon.
So, you know, I got to think that, you know, and this is my position on anomalous research, period. I think it's one of the most noblest of callings available. And what you're really embarking here, Gaurav, is an educational thing.
Yes.
I mean, and think of the suffering or the unhealthy belief systems that you can potentially resolve or help with.
Yes.
Or if nothing else, learn from and be able to apply it in your next investigation. Put it in your bag of tricks. Who's there? Anybody there? Am I here all by myself?
No, I'm here with you.
Good.
Oh, Gaurav dropped off. Hold on a second.
Oh, okay.
Let's see if I can get him back here.
God, it's been, I don't know, Doug, you must have really been fiddling with that PG board tonight. I don't know.
I pissed off the Skype gods. Hey, Gaurav.
There you go. There you go.
I'm back, sorry.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So, anyway.
It's time to teleport you from India.
Grant's having problems with the Heisenberg compensators.
I know, man. I just like, we're losing them.
But,
you know, back in line, though.
But, you know, just to keep going with that, Gaurav, what do you see as your role there? I mean, what's your personal mission? What are you really trying to do? What's going to bring you fulfillment and satisfaction conducting this type of research and investigation there?
I want people not to get scared of everything which comes their way, not to consider everything paranormal which comes their way, which anything is going wrong. if something is going wrong with the person, he thinks it's either black magic or a deed of a spirit. So I want people to come over that. You know, it's story of your luck, story of your fate. If anything goes wrong, it's you are responsible for it, not the spirit. And
yeah,
they're different.
Sure, because if you believe in gremlins, you know, it sure would make a bad day for you as a pilot.
Yeah.
It'd make for a real bad day for you, because if you're running around trying to check out gremlins, you're gonna auger right in.
Yeah.
Auger right in. Thanks for painting that picture. So, fascinating work. I mean, isn't that what Paranexus is really all about too, is education? Because even though perhaps some people in this country, in the United States, kind of get thrilled with the idea of a haunted place, I mean, obviously haunted inns and places bring a lot of tourists because people like the thrill, you know, they want to be scared. That's the point behind scary movies and thrill rides. And so even still, there's still a lot of people who are afraid of it in this country.
But, you know, Gaurav brought up way back, to digress a little bit, you mentioned something that sparked a memory with me, and it's something that I remember that has pretty much been, I think for the most part, the majority of cases have been reported in Asia, and that's people have a feeling, claiming that they're being bit, have been bitten by invisible entities and stuff. And you know what? In some cases, it's actually been associated with marks on the skin where, like, it looks like they've actually been bitten.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the cases have happened in Asia, and I think maybe in some of the Latin American countries. But think of what we've just been talking, and you know what? You know, the power of your own belief can make you have hysterical blindness. And it makes me wonder, people, you know, like the folks who have the stigmata,
mm-hmm.
is their mind actually making their physical body respond to their belief system?
Well, that's an answer that we have got to try to get before we go on.
It can't be anything but yes, it's got to be, you know. I mean, how else would you explain, you know, people that spontaneously begin to bleed, you know,
right.
in the same areas where, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, was supposed to have been crucified. I guess if they'd been more on target, it'd have been their wrists instead of on their palms, but,
right.
you know, nonetheless.
Well, but see, the palms is a common misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
of where Jesus had the stakes.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been up there for very long if they would have pounded the stakes through his palms.
It would have torn through, and so that's why he did it through the wrists. So, you know, there again, you have more evidence of a cultural belief system.
So, well, you know, one of the most striking things I ever heard, and I'm not saying this to offend any of our friends that are Christian, but somebody in St. Paul's Square or wherever it is out there over in Rome went up to tourists and said to them, you know, what did Jesus look like? And it was just absolutely astounding, the number of people, most of them were Americans, I think. And almost everyone, one to the last one, said he was blonde hair and blue-eyed. And it was just like absolutely astounding that people could really think that. But I guess maybe it's here in the West, it's because every picture you have of Jesus is his blonde hair and blue-eyed. You know, so
right.
Go figure. But, you know, just what people believe, what they've been told they should believe, they believe a lot of times.
So, Gaurav, we've got about 5 or so minutes left in the program. What kind of, do you have any tips, or what have you learned in your over the years that has really helped you, and what would you recommend to other researchers?
What I would like to recommend to other researchers is, not to force yourself on any client. You know, you must understand the client very well. You must gain his trust. Then you'll be able to solve the case very well.
Okay, so obviously understand the client. What else have you learned that might be of value to researchers in conducting research? Anything come to mind?
We should start thinking as the client thinks. We should, we should never force ourselves our beliefs on the client's belief, what he believes. For example, the old problem about anything is the fear of unknown,
mm-hmm.
like what Grant said. Like me, myself being a pilot, I was always scared of heights until unless I have flown. So if I don't know about anything, I would definitely be scared of that. So if people get to know about something, then definitely it is going to help to come over their fear. So
right.
We must educate clients in a way so that they understand what the actual phenomena is. So please go ahead.
What you're talking about here is really, and this is a fantastic concept, is managing, not manipulating, but managing belief systems. And isn't that really what you did with that young girl? When you went in, she gave you all the signs of possession. You spoke with her. You spoke with her logically, reasonably, or at least you addressed that part of her, let's call it, that entity, so to speak, that part. And you managed her belief system. So before you arrived, she believed that this spirit was going to come back and get her, this guy that she denied. And yet when you were done, you managed her belief system so that that was no longer an issue, correct?
That's correct.
So that's a great point for investigators, for researchers. When you're dealing with clients, it's a matter of understanding their belief system, managing it, and educating them. Because what you said, fear eliminates, knowledge cancels fear, is the way I put it before. Knowledge cancels fear, just like you said about flying. When you understand something better, you no longer necessarily fear it. That's great stuff, man. Good stuff. So, thanks so much, Gaurav, for joining us on the program. I'm so glad that we were able to finally get you.
Really, and so sorry for the technical problems tonight, but what a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Yeah, and hopefully we can keep in touch with you. I mean, obviously we will. And as I announced at the beginning of the show, Gaurav is now the regional director as the certified field investigator for Paranexus 4 India, and we're glad to have him on staff.
And proud to have him representing us there.
Mm-hmm.
Very proud of that.
Yeah. So, what a great researcher for you to have in that position. So.
Yep.
We really appreciate your time, Gaurav. And
thank you very much.
Be in touch. You have a great day. And thanks for joining us so early. He joined us at 7 a.m. his time.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
I'm so excited about the show.
Yeah, well,
thank you.
We're excited to have you. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
And next week, our own Kevin Costa, board member, is going to be joining us. He's going to be talking about some research that he's done on telepathy and dolphins. So that should be interesting. I mean, it's some stuff, research he's done in years past, and he's got actually probably enough material, he says, for a couple of different shows. So some of our board members will be either hosting some of our episodes or joining us on episodes, shows to discuss various things. 2 weeks from tonight, we have Butch Witkowski, joining us for a special 90-minute show on UFOs and human mutilations. Some rather fascinating data.
Scary stuff there, too. Yeah
that he's compiled. So
yeah, tune in for that show. It's going to be exciting. You're going to like it.
That's in 2 weeks. So folks, we really appreciate your time tonight. Appreciate everybody's participation in the chat room, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great night, everybody.
Yeah, have a great weekend, folks.
Good night.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
night, in the shadows, in the sky, it's Paranexus Universe.